Hallelujah, Bridgeway. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Are you ready for overflow? May the blessings of God overflow into your life. May the presence of God overflow into your homes. May the very presence of God and the peace of God overflow into your families, into wherever area of your life you feel anxiety, wherever your faith may be lacking. May the overflow of God's Spirit, even now, begin to transcend into your inner man and your inner woman, because God is going to do amazing things in your life, in your family. And he's doing amazing things in our church. Why don't we give God a great big hand clap of praise? We're praising God and we're celebrating today. We're celebrating that our mortgage is paid off at Bridgeway Community Church in Columbia, Maryland. A 30-year mortgage paid off in 15 years. We are praising God because not only is our mortgage paid off, but we're still feeding the hungry. We're still making sure that people are touched who need a blessing. We're still doing ministry, more ministry now than we've done before, around the world, around our community. We are reaching our community, our culture, and our world for Jesus Christ. And the reason we're doing it is because of people like you and the people sitting around you, and for the people who are in Owings Mills, for the people who are in Reisterstown. Where are they at? What camera am I looking at? Owings Mills, Reisterstown. Which one is it? Is it you? Hello. Yes, yes. Do this. Okay, I can see you now. Owings Mills, Reisterstown. Guess what? Y'all still got $2 million over there. Start giving. Let's do this. Let's do this. It's going to work. It's going to work. Listen, you're only 5 years old. They're going to be debt-free over there as well. But right here in Columbia, celebrate with us, because we've been carrying you. We're carrying one another, and God is blessing us as one church. And for those who are at home, you give as well, because God is going to bless you. Let's give them one last hand clap of praise. You may take your seats, whether in Owings Mills or whether here in Columbia. So today what I want to do is I want to talk about how we got debt free, right? And I believe that it can be true for you as well. Wherever you are in your financial journey, whether you're a younger person who needs to learn how to strategize with regard to your finances, whether you're an older person or whether you're somewhere in the middle, maybe you have college debt, maybe you have a mortgage, maybe you just need to pay rent or pay for a car, maybe you have health bills. God can show up and will show up when you always do what he wants you to do, and that is to honor him with the first fruits of your wealth. Whatever you have, God owns it all. And when you put him first, he wants you to be a steward of what he's given you, and he'll continue to multiply it and work through you in order to advance not only the purposes in your life, but the purposes he has for the kingdom of God on earth. And so what I want to do is I want to talk to you for a minute about strategies, systems, and spirit. Because as I thought about what has happened in our life, there are strategies that will help you do well financially, but there are also systems that need to be put in place that will help you operationalize what is necessary. But you can have great strategies and great systems, and still, if the Spirit of God is not leading, it doesn't get you to a God-glorifying place. So I want to talk about all three, and I thought the best way to do that maybe to do a couple of interviews with some of our top leaders And then when we're done with that, we're going to have a mortgage. Listen, we're going to have a mortgage burning ceremony, but because of fire code and all that, we didn't want sprinklers to start hitting on y'all. So we're going to do a mortgage shredding ceremony, okay? And we can celebrate the mortgage. Would anybody like to shred their mortgage, okay? Right? So you can superimpose your household. When we're doing this household, you can say this is a vision of what can be in my household as well. How about that? That wouldn't be bad, right? But first, let me invite up our CFO, our CPA, Tim Samuel, to talk about strategies. Then I'll invite after that Frank Eastham, our COO, to talk about systems. And then I'm going to ask one of our elders, Elder Marvin Beard, to come up and talk about spirit. This is our CFO. Give a hand to this guy right here. Tim Samuel, how old were you when you came to Bridgeway?
I was 25 years old.
25 years old, and now you're 29, right?
41, but who's counting?
41, okay, so 16 years he's been here. Now, remember, we said that we paid off this mortgage in 15 years. How long has Tim been here? Mm-hmm. Let's talk about strategies. What strategies were necessary in order to get us in a financial position to celebrate today?
So I would say there's four key points in my strategy. One.
You just put up five fingers. Okay, there you go. All right, that's good.
All right, four key points. One, be in prayer, a budget, a bank or a lending institution, and bring alongside you a good partner.
Good. Okay, those break each one down. What was the first one?
All right, first one is be in prayer. I know you talk at the end with spiritual, but you can't start off your day not in prayer, or you can't start off your work day. And to be honest, I'm a little bit sleepy in the morning, and so I don't always connect to God right away. But what I've used is when I park at work, there's a small little walk before I get into my office where I just say, hey, God, give me some wisdom. His scripture clearly says, hey, if you ask for it, he'll give it. And so that's the first kind of strategy, is just pray for wisdom. The second one, after you've been in prayer, is plan. And a lot of times in financial planning, it's called a budget. You budget your income, minus your expenses, minus some debt payoff or some capital expenditures like homes or cars, equals what you got left over.
All right, so your budget is when you write down everything that I make.
Yep.
So I have this amount of money. Let's make it real easy. I have $10,000.
Correct.
All right. And then now everything I owe.
Correct. Or your pleasure or just the stuff that.
All the spending, right?
All the spending.
Okay. And that, let's say, is $12,000. So then I come to church and I hear about giving God some money as well, and he wants 10%. So now if I have $10,000 and I give $1,000 to God, I have $9,000. My bills are $12,000. When you came to Bridgeway, were we in a financial position that looked something like that?
Yes. So I had to be the CPA that wrote down what we were bringing in, and it was in 2008, and for those of you that remember 2008, the United States of America economy just collapsed, and so what they were making in 2007 wasn't what we were bringing in 2008, and so I wrote stuff down, and it comes in weekly at the church.
Right.
Like, we don't have a contract with anyone that says, hey, you must pay X. So a lot of what I was writing down in income is in the faith.
Do you think that'd be a good idea to have a contract with the people that come to Bridgeway and they can sign how much they're going to? No, not so much. Okay, go ahead.
But the expenses, you guys did have contracts and promises to employees, right? Those were known expenses. So how much do we pay our employees? How much do we pay in FICA? How much do we pay into a water bill? And so you start just writing those expenses out. And this is a beautiful building. I was the age of 25 when I started the church. Pastor Anderson was the age of 25 when he started the church. And until this building, they were just leasing and renting. So a lot of expenses when you own a home is different when you lease a home. And so they were just incurring some new costs that they weren't used to.
Yeah, and so then you had to put some strategies together. And one of the first strategies we had was to get good banking.
Yes, correct. So once we came in, by the grace of God, we had two local banks, a real estate investment trust, and the landlord that held this note so we could purchase the building. But when you guys know, when you don't have a lot, the banking terms are not unfavorable. So right. One of the strategies along the years is always trying to find the best deal for your debt.
Yeah.
And so know your terms. A great practical application for those of you who have mortgages, when you refinance your mortgage, which I don't recommend right now because the interest rates, but if you have to, always look at your amortization rate. So that's how long it takes to pay something off. Mm-hmm. If you refinance and you get a new 30-year term, your payment's going to be less, but you just started the clock all over again. So just look at that and say, hey, I've already paid 15 years in. Maybe I should take a 15-year amortization rate. And believe me, by just doing that, your mortgage will be paid out in 15 rather than 30 years. So that's just a practical tip that I had to look at when we're paying off our debt.
When we captured this building, we were not able to buy it in 2006 because there was $1 million prepayment penalty on the building by the owner. And so we could lease it for 3 years, and then by 2009, we could purchase it if we wanted to. The problem was we needed to do renovations. This was a warehouse. It wasn't a floor that looks like this, that a bowl in the middle that we excavated. There were four poles across the front here that cost $100,000 per pole to remove. And then on the outside, they put a truss, like a bridge type truss, to hold the building up. So this part of the building's being held up because of an engineering sort of design that holds the building up because they were load bearing pillars. We weren't able to afford those four pillars being taken down because it was like $100,000 a pillar. So I'm sorry for those of you who don't have a direct sight. That's why we have a lot of screens, but this was like real practical stuff. And no bank wanted to give us the money to do a $3.5 million project for a building you didn't own. You were just leasing. And so for 13 banks rejected us and said no. Until one bank said, well, if you can get people to personally collateralize it with their home mortgages, then we'll give you the loan. And so we had about 12 or 13 people who said, Pastor, this is how much, you know, they did an appraisal. This is how much we can tie up. And so they tied their homes up. And if Bridgeway would have failed, then they would take their equity in their homes. And so we did a little dinner for them Friday night, just a private dinner with me to say thank you for doing that. So if we could just honor them without you even knowing who they are, that really helped us. Then Tim comes in and he sets up some strategies for us. What's the last thing you want to say?
Final is just like that. We're not meant to do life alone. And so find a partner, find a person that knows this, and just talk to them. You don't have to talk about specifics, right? You just need a partner with someone along. And so as we were getting healthier in a financial position, you do different things financially when you're healthy. And so one of the advisors we brought on board was called Blue Trust, and I was just brainstorming with them, high picture ideas, and they said, hey, you know what? Why don't you invest so when the next balloon payment comes in, you'll be able to pay it off. And so I was like, oh, that's not a bad idea. Rather than being stuck with this, like, prepayment penalties, let's invest into our future. And then, you know, you never know where a partner could come from. I have a neighbor who's here today that when the interest rates went up just this past year, right, or a year and a half ago. So 2 years ago, your checking account probably made no money, but your savings account made no money as well. But now you could put your money in a savings account and earn 5% interest. This happened kind of overnight. And so if you guys have money in your checking account that's just sitting there, I encourage you open at least a savings account. Well, where did I learn that from? Well, walking my children to school, and one of my neighbors and I were just chatting, and that was one of the topics that came up. And I was just thanking God. I'm like, where do I live where I talk about interest rates? And
that's right.
Like, we talked about the Knicks, and we didn't talk about money, but God's position yourself around people who could pour into you.
Well, Tim, I want to say thank you as our CFO. Our board meets with you. We meet with banks. You've done so much work to help get us on the right track so we could be at a place today. And so what do you want to say to Tim for his great work? Thank you. And now Frank Eastham is going to come up. And Frank, you're going to talk to us from your standpoint as the chief operations officer. You have to put a lot of systems in place in order for these strategies to work as well. So first of all, put your hands together for Frank Eastham. Wave to OMR, let him know that you love him. All right, so all of your systems work for the congregation in OMR as well as the congregation here in Columbia. Tell us about this.
Absolutely, and Pastor David, I just have to say, this is an emotional celebration for me. I've been with you for 32 years.
Yeah.
And as we were celebrating during worship, it's just amazing what God has done.
Yeah.
And I'm just blessed to have been a part of it.
Yeah.
And God instilled into you over 32 years ago to create this. And he planted in your heart a vision and a mission for Bridgeway. And you pulled together some leaders, and you developed this vision statement, this mission statement, and these values. And those were used to guide our church. And at some point, we put those into a vision model because we wanted to make sure that the vision and mission and values were embedded throughout the entire organization, from the employment team to the clergy team to the ministry leaders. And so that vision model, which is up on the screen, really took a lot of words and it compressed it into a visual model that we could use to live out our vision, our mission, and our values. And that vision...
Let's see if we can get it up on the screen. There it is.
Okay. So you can see that reaching is right in the center, reaching our community, culture, and world for Jesus Christ. But we just don't want to reach others. We want to disciple them and ensure that we have systems in place to disciple them. And then, of course, we want to make sure that we invite them to be a partner, be a part of our church family. And so this model, this visual model, really helped us to align all of our systems to live out this vision, this mission, and these values that we have. And so we use this vision model to look at our staffing, to look at our spending, and to look at our scheduling. Mm-hmm. And so we have staff. We have about 40 staff members. And we wanted to make sure that we could leverage that staffing in a way that would live out this vision, mission and values, this vision model. And so we had some administrative support that was spread throughout the organization, and we decided that it would be best to create a team that could provide ministry support for our clergy, for our employees, as well as the many ministry champions, ministry leaders, we call them ministry champions because you are, throughout the organization. And when we did that allowed us to have some additional resources to feed into this vision model. Mm-hmm. So we increased staffing with an associate pastor of discipleship, associate pastor of outreach, associate pastor of spiritual formation and theology. Yeah. And then we increased some staffing in our worship arts ministry. So that allowed us to leverage resources in our staffing, our systems for staffing, to live out the vision. Mm-hmm. Secondly, we looked at our spending. And we used to do spending the way that most organizations do. We allot it into the different divisions or ministries or departments, and then they spend that money. And what we decided to do was a collaborative budget system and process where we brought our teams together and said, hey, let's ask this question. How can we leverage these funds to answer the question, how can we move people closer to becoming a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ? Not individually, but collaboratively, collectively. And it changed our whole budget system.
So
we're able to leverage the gifts that you all give each and every Sunday in a powerful way.
So it's not just one department gets this, another department gets this. They all come together and they try to figure out how can we take the pool of resources we have to reach the goal and to reach the vision. So now really the resources are serving the vision, as Absolutely. Opposed to everybody having their own vision for their own department to do, okay, men's ministry, women's ministry, life groups. No, hang on here. This is the vision. How do we use those resources? And let's all talk together about how we use those resources in order to get there.
To move forward in unity and love.
Yeah.
Which is all a part of our vision.
Yeah, that's great.
And the last system that we put in place was scheduling. We've had over 3,500 people register, check in, or attend a ministry activity or event so far this ministry year.
So since September?
Since September 10th. We've had over 3,500 people, and that doesn't count the individual life groups or other group activities that happen.
This is outside of Sunday. This is just activities that are scheduled in one of the buildings.
Absolutely.
And we've had how many events? Like over 2,600 or something.
Yeah, we've had tons of events. And those events, we don't all track, because there are some events that individual ministries have. Or life groups have. But just the sheer number of that scheduling, we really needed to create a system to do that. And so we created a project management system, which sounds corporate, but it allowed us to leverage our resources, because basically we have human resources, we have financial resources, and we have physical resources.
Right.
And so the project process allowed us to leverage our resources so that we could answer the question, how can we move people closer to becoming a fully devoted follower of Christ? And on that project team, there are clergy, there's worship arts, there's building team, there's mission.
And what we're finding then is we're saving money because we are A, collaborating, and B, looking at a project so it doesn't cost us more money down the line. Because if you do a change order, if you're building something or constructing something, if you do a change order, that one change costs you a lot more money and time. Time and money are the two things that, you know, can really, really cost you. And so when you're on the front end, really think through the scheduling and think through who is this going to affect within the ministry, it actually can save you money. And then we can put that money to work for us regarding being debt-free.
Right.
Thank you for the work that
Absolutely.
You're doing. I appreciate
Thank
you.
Thank you so much.
All right, let's put our hands together for Frank Eastham. And Marvin, you'll be the last one. Elder Marvin Beard is one of our elders. And I want to talk about the spiritual aspect, because we get together, Marvin and I, along with the other elders, every single week at 6 a.m. in the morning to pray in person, live in my office. And then the Elders' Council of Women, they join us once a month, and together as an Elders' Council, we pray together. And so a lot of boards is all about governance. Yes, the Elder Board is a governing board, but I don't know any churches, and praise God if there are, I just don't know of any, where the board comes together every single week at 6 a.m. in the morning to pray. And so thank you for being one of those elders. But tell us about the spiritual aspect of all this, because we talk about strategies and systems, but we always get to this number one point, and that's about the spirit.
Well, you know, First Fruits was introduced to Dorothy and I about 25 years ago, and we incorporated First Fruits in our life. And I mentioned it to you in the elders, about a year before I had mentioned it in the elders meeting, and then I think October, November of 22, you said that, well, we're going to do First Fruits come January of 2022. And as a witness of what First Fruits did for Dorothy and I, we've been living a debt-free life for over 15 years. Because, thank you. Honored God, you know, because we did what Scripture said. It says, God said in Malachi, test me on this issue of giving. And so Dorothy and I, we put God to the test. We put him to the test by honoring him every January with a first fruit offering, saying, Jehovah Jireh, we are believing that you will provide for us this entire year for whatever it is we need. And that's what we've been doing, and that's what I talked to you and shared with the elders about. And for 2 years now, we've been doing it, and the blessing that has been reported from the people to see what God is doing here is such a blessing, Pastor, because it's pouring out on the people.
Yeah.
The debt-free, the mortgage shredding is possible for the people. To be debt free. Scripture tells us, owe no man anything but to love him. Mm. And I asked God, well, how's that even possible when I was in that position? How's that even possible? And later he showed me. He said, first fruits offering. You know, it's not your job, it's not your intellect, it's It's not your investments. It's me. It's me that you need to trust in and believe in.
Mm, praise God. Thank you so much for your spiritual leadership. I'm going to ask Elder Don and all the elders, Elders Council of Women, all the clergy to come up on stage for this moment of shredding. I'm going to ask Elder Don to pray. It was in a prayer meeting that we had where Elder Don prayed about first fruits, and then it was in that prayer meeting that God just spoke it to my spirit after Marvin had talked about it, that this would be the year to do it. And so I just want to thank all of you, and realize that a lot of churches do what they call capital campaigns, and we've done that before too. But when you think about this first fruits thing, last year, you gave $800,000. We had no idea, and we didn't care. And I was very clear about that. I do not care what the number is. It's just between you and God. And God released something of overflow in this place like I've never seen before. So we did it again this year in January, and $700,000. So that means within 12 months of $1.5 million of offering and two offerings with no capital campaign. You know, like, that's a spiritual strategy that none of us could ever even imagine. And that put us in a position to do all the things and leverage everything we've been talking about. So I have four pieces of paper. It spells, let's see, D, E. Anybody know what the next one is? Y'all are such a smart congregation. B and T. Now, this represents the mortgage. All right, so I guess we'll start with you. Come on, let's get over here. You know, this is a shredder. Don't hurt yourself. All right, and as this goes down, these four pages represent, listen, our mortgage, and it represents your mortgages, your debts, and everything that you've been praying for God to release. Are you ready? Okay, you ready, OMR? Let's go.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, first of all, we want to give you all the praise,
yes,
all the glory, all the honor, all the thanks, Lord, for all that you bless us each and every day with, Lord. We're thankful for your faithfulness. Lord, you are such an awesome God, and we are grateful for what you do in our lives.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for this debt being gone from this church so that future generations don't have that saddled over their heads.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, we thank you for Tim and his faithful stewardship of the finances. We thank you for all the partners and givers who have given of their resources to you, Lord. First fruits and other fruits, Lord. Lord, we're just grateful for what people give out of what they can afford to give. But Lord, let us remember that all we have belongs to you, and we need to give those first fruits to you before we look at things for ourselves. Lord, teach us to be faithful stewards of our money, that we look at what is important in life, not just our wants.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, let's pay attention to just our needs. And Lord, we know you supply our every need. So thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for Frank and all that he does. And Lord, we especially want to thank you for our pastor and his vision that you gave him years ago.
Thank you, Jesus.
And the faithfulness of this church, this whole congregation, how people continue to bless you back, Lord, for all that you bless us with. Father, we just praise your name, and we thank you again for all that you do.
Yes, Lord.
It's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen and amen. And
amen. Put your hands together.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Okay, I got a word for you that I want to declare. Before I do, I want to thank the Elders' Council of Women. Raise your hand so they can see you. Okay. We get a report on the finances every single week, and it goes to the Elders' Council of Women. And they, you know, if we didn't hit the budget that week, it's in the color red. If we do hit the budget or go over, it's in the color green. And one of the things Gina and the Elders' Council of Women said, well, we need to pray for green. And guess what we started doing? We started praying for green. And we started seeing green, 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 green. That's the spiritual part that we were missing. So thank you, Elders, Council of Women as well. God bless you. Okay, y'all can go ahead. Thank you so much. Give them a hand as they leave. And let me give you a word. Please take your seat. Let me give you a word, and then I have something at the end that I just want to drop on you. But from our church house to your house, the possibility and the expectancy of debt freedom is being declared. It's being passed down. It's being released from the spiritual head of this house to every household under the covering of Bridgeway Community Church. God told the prophet Haggai in the Old Testament in chapter 1, verse 8. Don't go there. I just want to read it. He tells them, go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build the house, talking about the house of the Lord, so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. Once they did that in chapter 2, verse 19c, God says this, from this day on, I will bless you. And God is saying to you, from this day on, when you take care of the house of the Lord, God receives pleasure, God is honored. And when you take care of the house of the Lord, God will take care of yours. And that's why we can truly say at Bridgeway in Columbia, debt no more in 2024. Debt no more in 2024. And God put a phrase in my spirit clearly just a couple of weeks ago, and I wrote it down in my calendar because he wants me to say it to you. Here it is. Debt free is your destiny. Debt free is your destiny. And you need to understand that even if you're in debt, debt free is your destiny. And you can become debt-free in small areas in your life, with your car, with your medical bills, you know, whatever it may be. You can be freed from those debts and maybe even your mortgage one day. But it's your destiny. None of us are going to heaven with debt. Thank God for that. No more bills in heaven. Amen to that. But I want you to know I'm declaring that we're releasing this debt-free expectancy over all of you who are under our covering. A few weeks ago when I said that, a woman came to me in the lobby and she said, I never even thought mortgage-free was a possibility until you spoke it. I never even looked at it as a possibility until you spoke it. And she goes, so now I'm receiving. I'm just so happy that it's a possibility in my brain to even think that way. Then 2 weeks later, she came and she says, God's already working. God's already working. And I said, I love that. Something opened up in your brain, opened up in your spirit, and now God's activating it within your life. That's going to be true for many of you. Where I want to take you, though, is to an amazing psalm in Psalm 92. A brother sent me a passage from Psalm 92, and I started digging into it, and I tell you what, I'm so thankful he sent it to me because God is taking this debt-free concept, and he's letting you know that it can be yours. But remember, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Just because you don't see it yet, you can have bold faith to believe it right now that your day is coming. Now, what I want you to do is, if you have a copy of the scriptures, is go to Psalm 92. And there is a word that I want you to hear in your spirit. So I'm going to say it now. It's one word, but I want to say this word and I want it to penetrate to your spirit. You ready? Here it is. Flourish. Flourish. Can you say that word with me? Flourish. Flourish. Now I want you to go with me to this passage because I believe that we're in this season, but God wants you to flourish. We'll pick it up at verses 5, 6, and 7. How great are your works, O Lord? How profound your thoughts. The senseless man does not know, fools do not understand, that though the wicked spring up like grass and all evildoers, here it is, flourish, they will be forever destroyed. What? It says here, friends, that the evildoers flourish. Do you ever wonder, why do the wicked flourish? And the text says, evildoers flourish, huh? Lord, why would you allow this wicked man to flourish? God, why would you allow these wicked people to flourish? Have you ever asked that in your spirit? Well, you know, God answered it in Matthew 5, 45. It says, he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. So it rains on the just and the unjust. But here's the word for you, though. For those of you who are worried because other people are flourishing, who don't want to honor God with their lives, with their finances, with their workflow on the job or whatever, and they are seemingly flourishing, just know that that's okay because it's only temporary. Psalm 92, if we pick it up again at verses 8 and 9, we read 5, 6, and 7, 8 and 9. But you, O Lord, are exalted how long? Forever. Surely your enemies, O Lord, surely your enemies will what? Perish. All evildoers will be scattered. So evildoers will flourish, but it says their destiny is that they will perish. It's temporary. I'm not excited that anyone perishes. But the reality is you may see people around you who don't want to honor God, and it seems like they're flourishing, and you're wondering why. Just remember, it's temporary. Human flourishing is a good thing, but heavenly flourishing is better. And human flourishing is temporary, and that's important to understand. Heavenly flourishing is eternal. So what does it say then about those who are righteous? Well, this is the good news. We looked at 5, 6, and 7. We looked at 9 and 10. Now let's look at 12 and 13. It says, the righteous, this is now those of us who follow the Lord, the righteous will, here it is, flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Verse 13, are you ready? Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of God. Planted in the house of the Lord. Can you say planted? Do you see what promise comes with that? When you are planted in the house of the Lord, you will flourish. Where? In the courts of God. Hallelujah. When you are planted in the house of the Lord, you will flourish in the courts of our God. Somebody needs to get planted today. Maybe you've been coming to Bridgeway. Are you planted here? Get planted. Start volunteering. Become a partner. Use your gifts to help advance the kingdom of God. And when you start planting your service here, planting your seeds of faith here, planting your resources here, you will flourish in the courts of God. Get planted. We can use volunteers and Bridge Kids. We can use volunteers in multiple ministries. You can go online and find out where you might be able to serve. You can talk to someone who has a badge on that says, how can I help you? But utilize your gifts if you're not already serving and find out what can you do? Maybe you're a traveler, so maybe there's something you can do on your laptop. Maybe you can be a part of the e-prayer ministry. There's just so many different things that you might be able to do. And even with Bridge Kids, maybe you just serve once a month and we have multiple services in Columbia so you can go to church and still serve in the church. And at Bridge Kids, maybe just once a month, you can say at Owens Mills, I'll give up that Sunday so somebody else can worship. Get planted. There's a golf tournament coming up and there's a lot of people getting excited about that in July. Maybe that's an area where you can serve. This is why we have been preaching all year long, come home. Come home. Some of you are spiritually homeless. I had a brother say to me just this morning, Doc, I'm so glad that you mentioned come home because me and my family were watching online and we just kind of got used to it. And then when you declared, come home, we decided to come back into the house. Well, for some of you, that's where you are. Everybody can't be in the house, but some of you can be. You just need to come home. And the reality is some people are spiritually homeless, and maybe this is the time when God says, you know what? You need to come undercover. You need to come under covering, because under the covering of this church, there is a blessing that God has for you. You will flourish under this covering. You see, there's favor here. There's flourishing here. But there's also freshness here. Verse 14, it's the last verse we're going to read, but check it out. Y'all going to love this verse. This is going to be like somebody's new life verse. Watch. Okay, this is how it ends. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. Is that a cool verse right there? Look at that, y'all. These are people who are planted in the house of the Lord. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. You can be so fresh and so green, green. I mean, I worked on that line, y'all. But seriously, isn't that cool for those people who are a bit older? Does that sound good to you? Here's the thing. You can be younger and never make it to being older. When you're in the house of the Lord, we're praying that the covering of God keeps you till you get old. My mom just always says, well, just wait till you get older. I want to get older. Some of you need to live long enough to get older. And the Bible says, honor your father and mother, and you will have more days. So honor your father and mother. It's your human parents, but also your spiritual parents. Honor your pastor. Honor your small group leader. Honor the people who have been helping you spiritually and teaching you the word of God. When you honor in the house, God gives you favor. God gives you flourishing. God gives you freshness. And the Bible says, I was young and now I am old, and I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. That's somebody who's lived long enough to see the faithfulness of God. You will bear fruit. Stay fruitful, stay fresh. Doesn't matter how old you are, you can still bear fruit. Hallelujah. How many of y'all like to receive that word right there? Amen. All right, so let me then conclude with these declarations, the things I've been saying. I put them in four declarations. Here's one. Debt-free is your destiny. Here's two. A debt-free expectancy is being released over all who are under our covering. You can take a picture when all four are up. Number three, when you are planted in the house of the Lord, you will flourish. And number four, you will still bear fruit and stay fresh in old age. Do you like those four declarations? I declare them in the name of Jesus. You know, because of your first fruits giving, we've been able to bless many people. Last year, we blessed non-for-profits. This year, we blessed some of our partners around the world, and we blessed some people right within our church. So we helped some people be debt-free for a few months of their mortgage. We helped some people with their medical bills. We helped some people purchase a car. The list goes on. We helped some people with garnishments. We just decided we were going to bless people in the house. In all that blessing, one of the partners was in Mexico with our ministry there in Cunamaya with Kingdom School that has the kids. Well, we went to go visit Amber and I and a small team in January. And when we were talking to the leaders, they were talking about how every now and then the kids can have a piece of fruit. They try to feed them something every day, but they can't really afford fruit. So every now and then they'll give them a piece of fruit once every few months. And somebody asked, they weren't asking for money. Somebody asked, maybe it was me, how much would it cost to give them fruit once a month? How much once a week? If we were to say every kid that came and walked to this school could come to school and have one piece of fruit every single day, would you find out how much that would cost? They found out. And they said, well, if we buy it from the local people here, it would bless them as a business. And that's why we try to do it once every couple of months when we can. They found out. Guess how much? $3,200 for the whole year. $3,200. Like, we could do that. When we got back, we told them, listen, starting now, We want every kid every day to have one piece of fruit. They're so excited. And I'm thinking, first fruits offering? Fruit? Yeah, okay, that's how it works. Okay, I see what you're doing, Lord. Yeah. So the kids get fruit. Okay, listen, Owens Mills, I got something for you. In the center section, right there at Owens Mills, you have these rows. The fifth row back from the front, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The fifth seat in, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I want that person to stand up right now. I have a message for you. I wrote it down, 3 words. God sees you. God loves you. God knows you. Okay? Now, would you reach down under your seat? There's an envelope. Go ahead, reach down, grab it, and open it up. There's $500 there just for you. And that's to remind you that God loves you, God sees you, God knows you. And everybody right here in Columbia, they're applauding for you. I know at Owens Mills, they're applauding for you. God wanted you to have that. So you may be seated and praise God. And at the end of today's service, I'm sure Pastor Mitch will say a prayer for you as well. Now here in Columbia, Tony, if you could just go stand in this center section and who's shadowing me today. And then David Demas, if you could go and stand in this section right over here. Now, in this general area right here, somebody has in front of them, it's stuck on a chair. It says Gracism. If it's stuck on that chair, could you tap that person on their shoulder? Oh, there you go. Stand up, please. If you just got tapped on the shoulder, could you just stand up? Beautiful. And over here, tap the person on the shoulder that has this. You see it right there? Okay. Now, David, if you could give her that envelope. Tony, if you could give this person that envelope. It has $500 in it of cash. And that, that's God's way of saying that he sees you, he knows you, and he loves you. Amen. Bridgeway, the overflow is just beginning. So get ready. Amen and amen.